Well, good morning, church. Welcome to Student Sunday. We are so honored to be serving you this morning. I really mean that. The team and I have been meeting since February, just praying and dreaming up what this could look like and trying to convince teenagers to get up extra early to come serve you. And it's working, and we're so excited. And I hope that you've enjoyed seeing them around. Make sure you thank them. They have been here since very early. So I brought two friends this morning with me. I always tell the students, until you graduate and Student Sunday happens, we are not friends. I'm your pastor and you are my student. So today is our official first day of our friendship, guys. So would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Peyton Hofer and I just graduated from UConn High School.
Thanks, Peyton.
And I'm Megan Brown, and I just graduated from Edmond Memorial High School.
Thanks, Megan. I accidentally tricked Megan. I asked her, would you like to speak with me on Student Sunday? And she said, yeah, that would be so great. I didn't know that she thought Student Sunday was just on the third floor in front of some of our students. So last Sunday, as we were talking about going in all three of the rooms, she's like, wait, what are you talking about? So she has now done the chapel, the sanctuary, and now we are in the venue. So Megan has done a great job, even though she thought it was just 50 people.
Thank you.
Just a little more. Just a few more than 50.
Yeah, there's like 50 people maybe in the back right corner.
In the back corner, yeah. So we are excited this morning where it's gonna look a little bit different. We are actually gonna share with you some things that we have been learning as a ministry over the summer and then something that I have been working through for quite a while. Back in January, I gave a sermon to our students about fasting and I told the story of Elijah in the cave. And the next day, I met with my accountability partner, Tracy, who makes sure that I read scripture for me and not just students. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about Elijah. And we began just trudging through that story in January, and we are still digging through this relationship with Elijah and Elisha. And then we went to camp in June, and the theme was to be continued, and it was all about Elijah giving his legacy to Elisha. So how perfect that Student Sunday comes around, and we felt like the Lord was wanting us to share that with you. So when we get to the end of this, we hope that you understand the legacy that you have as a church and also as an individual, and that we can find hope for the next 60 years as we consider the cross and everything that Jesus did as the resurrected Savior for us, so we can have hope in that. So we're gonna begin today. Are you guys still a little nervous?
No, I'm good.
You're good. This crowd isn't as scary as the other ones. So how are you feeling?
I'm good.
Okay?
I'm good, yeah.
We talked about maybe it would be helpful to tell a story.
Yeah. I think you just tell the Mexico story.
No, that's inappropriate for a crowd like this.
No, it's not.
Don't do that story.
Okay, let's not fight. I like to tell stories at the beginning of my sermons. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel more comfortable. They were a little nervous. I said, it'll make you guys feel more comfortable. And y'all look a little nervous as well. So maybe it'll just help all of us feel a little bit more comfortable. So I'm a dog person. I don't know how many of you in here are in the cat camp, but this morning is not about you. So that's okay. My favorite dog of all time was a Great Dane. His name was Evan. He weighed 207 pounds. He was so tall that if I hid his treats on the top of the refrigerator, he could stand on his hind legs and reach the top of the refrigerator to get them down. He was a giant. He was really loud and audacious, but he was kind of a coward. He was afraid of three things. He was afraid of ice cubes. Literally, he was afraid of ice cubes. If we did not want him to go into the kitchen, we would just set an ice cube on the floor, and he would just stare at it until it melted into water, and then he would drink it. But he was terrified of ice cubes. He had no idea. What are they? The second thing that he was afraid of was a whistle. Most dogs, you whistle, and they come running. Yes, master, what do you need? If you whistled around Evan, he would freeze, just like with the ice cube, and he would just stare at you like, what was that sound? I don't know what to do. He was so weird. He was also, like most dogs, afraid of storms. But the interesting thing about Evan is he was only afraid of storms if he was alone. If I was next to him, he was fine. I found this out because when he was really afraid, and he was all by himself, and a storm came, he would eat my couch, and he would pee everywhere. That's how I discovered that he was afraid of storms when he was alone. So, on one humid May day in Oklahoma, I did what every good Oklahoman does who does not own a storm shelter. I heard that some tornadoes were possibly in the air, so I gathered up some food, and I went to my friend's house who have a shelter, because that's what you do. And we had a tornado party. We watched the news as the tornadoes are maybe coming, maybe not, and we were having a good time until I heard a clap of thunder. And I suddenly remembered that there was a horse in my home that could eat my couch and could pee everywhere. And so I said, guys, I have to leave. I have to go. And they said, no, we don't know if that's safe. And I looked on that little handy map that tells you, Edmond, 636. And I'm, hey, it's 6 o'clock. It's 10 minutes to my house, 10 minutes back. That gives me 16 minutes to get this dog in my car. Everything's going to be fine. So I'm driving there and I'm praying, even though the Lord had bigger things to worry about that day, I was praying that the dog had not eaten my couch and peed everywhere. And I slowly opened the door and I said, Evan, and he's standing right there just shaking. And I look over his shoulder and I'm like, okay, my couch is still here. I don't see pee on the walls, like I think we're good. And I step in and he just rushes next to me and puts all of his weight on me and it slams me up against the door and the door shuts. And I reach around to open the door handle and it was covered in slobber and it was no longer round, it was flat. In his panic, he knew the way out, and he had chewed the door handle. Well, here's the problem, church. I lived in a condo at this time, and there was one door in and one door out. So I'm like, oh my goodness, and I'm trying to open the door. And in that moment, because story of my life, the tornado siren went off. Ooh, right? You get it. And now I'm like, and I'm looking at him, and he's like, what is that? Get us out of here. And you know, in Oklahoma, it means one of two things. Either the whole county is in a warning or there is a tornado on top of us, right? So I'm panicking, trying to get the door open. And I'm like, what are we gonna do? So I go over and I unlock the window and I open the window and like a ninja, I just kicked out the screen. I was like, yes. Okay, and I jump out and I'm like, okay, Evan, come on, let's go, follow me. And he's just looking at me shaking like, I'm not going out there. So I climb back in the window. Why none of my neighbors called the police, I have no idea. I climb in the window and I pick him up and he just puts both paws on the window and he's like shaking, no, I'm not going out there. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I turn him around and I picked up his, how should I say this?
His butt.
Well, I wasn't going to use that word. His rear. Thanks, Peyton. And I pick him up, and I put his rear out the window. Well, he's so big that I just had to kind of leave him there for a second. So this poor dog has his rear out the window and his head inside the house, and the siren is still, woo, and he's just looking at me like, what is happening? So I have to climb halfway through the window as well. Again, where are my neighbors? Like, why aren't they concerned? And I pick him up and pull him and put him outside the window. And at this point, I wish I had a cat. Like, that would have been so much easier. Just throw it out the window. And we're sweating. We're sweating. Y'all like the cat out the window. Yeah, we're sweating. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the sirens are still going off. And he is still shaking. And I'm like, okay, let's go for a ride. Get in the car. Come on. And he's just looking at me again like, I don't know what you're up to, but I don't want to be a part of any of this. And I'm like, come on, get in the car. So now I have to pick him up, and I'm walking with this horse to my car. Like, what? I can imagine my neighbors. Like, there's this lady climbing in and out the window, and now she's putting a horse in a car. Like, what is happening? So I finally get him in the car, and like a good pet owner, I buckle him in. And I am just dripping with sweat at this point. The sirens are still going off. I'm panicking. I get in and I just start, you know, quoting scripture. So I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's what pastors do when they're panicking, is they quote scripture. I don't know what was going through my mind, but probably not that. And Evan just leans all of his weight on me and just crushes me up against the window. And I'm like, listen, I have to drive. We have to get somewhere. And I put my arm on him to hold him up, and I start driving, and I take a deep breath, and then I hear water.
Was it rain?
It was not rain, Peyton. It was pee. It was a lot of pee. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog pee while they're sitting down. You probably haven't, because that's not a thing. But this dog was sitting in the seat, and he's a boy dog. I'm not gonna go into the science behind this, but that meant that the pee was going up. And then it was coming down on my dash. Just though I walk through the valley. I just closed my eyes, I think, at that point, because, like, what does it matter? Like, let's just close my eyes and drive. I am sweating. I had kicked my screen out. How am I gonna get back in the house? I don't even know if it's gonna work. I'm hungry because I left the food, and now there's pee everywhere, and I'm just angry. And as I'm still holding on to him, I just feel him shaking. And I look over, and like every good dog, he will not make eye contact with me at this point because he is so ashamed of what just happened. So he's just looking out the other door. And at first I'm frustrated, and I'm like, are you happy with yourself? And of course, he's not happy with himself. And in this moment when I felt his trembling, I began to see it through his perspective. That he was just trying to do what he was created to do, to just lean into his master who kept him safe, who was in control, and who could protect him. And he was terrified, and he was lonely. And my anger suddenly switched from anger to empathy as I realized his perspective in all of this, that he was just terrified. Changed my attitude and my posture. It did not change the smell of my vehicle, but it did change my attitude. And this morning, I want to walk through scripture and look at the perspective of Elijah that will be given to you from Peyton and Elisha that Megan will be giving to you. And I hope that it can change our attitude and our posture for the future. And that because of these perspectives, we will be able to look into the future and see a hope. So, Peyton.
Yeah.
Would you like to start us off?
Of course.
And read the beginning of this relationship of Elijah and Elisha.
Yes.
All right.
All right. So I'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21.
Okay.
So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Snapchat. Shephat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He brought the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant.
All right. Why don't you tell us what you believe Elijah is feeling, just his perspective of this moment?
Okay, so I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So before all of this, you know, Elijah had just defeated all these, like, prophets of Baal. And he was at the top. Like, he was on this, like, high of, man, I feel so good. And then this queen, like, was going to kill him, and he was afraid. So he went from being hero to zero like that. And so he went from the mountaintop to the cave. And in the cave, God came to him and was like, hey, you need to go find these people. And not only do you need to find one of them kind of sounds like you. Like, he might be your twin or something. Like, what do you mean? His name's Elisha. It's like, wow, that was really creative. One letter. So I go and leave. I'm like, okay, God, I'll do what you want. And I go leave, and I find him. And when I find him, he's over there doing his thing. He looks pretty wealthy. His estate is big. He has all these oxen. He has all these servants, all this equipment. And so I sneak up on him and I throw my cloak on him. And he's like, oh, what was that? And he's like, okay, I'm going to come with you, but I have to say bye to my parents and I have to do some other stuff. I was like, all right, bro, you go do you. So I'm like watching him say goodbye. And all of a sudden, he starts, like, killing all of his oxen. I'm like, what are you doing? And not only does he do that, he burns his farm equipment and eats his oxen. I'm like, okay, like, shoot. And then he's like, all right, I'm dead. I'm coming to follow you. I was like, I don't know what I got myself into, but I hope it works out. And that's kind of my perspective up to this point.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Very animated.
Thank you.
What do you think is so important about this cloak?
So I think the cloak represents a calling that God wanted Elijah to tell Elijah, hey, you're done being like this farmer or whatever. I want you to come and serve the kingdom. I want you to go out and be like fishers of men. So I think that's what the cloak represents.
Okay, that's awesome. Megan, how about we shift gears and you tell us the perspective from Elisha's point of view?
Yeah, so I'm Elisha and I'm plowing my field. It's a normal day, I'm a farmer. And I see this random dude come up and throw this coat on me and I'm kind of like, what are you doing? Like, I'm plowing my field. And all of a sudden I get this overwhelming, exciting feeling of this is what I've been praying for. This is what I've been asking the Lord to do. I've been staying faithful to him and I haven't been worshiping Baal like a lot of the other Israelites. And this is finally what he's calling. He's calling me to follow this random guy. And so I look at him and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go tell my mom and dad goodbye. And he looks at me and he's kind of like, whoa, like what have I done to you? And when I look at his face, I realize the weight of my decision. I'm leaving my job and my family and where I feel comfortable at and everything I've ever known to go follow this random guy because it's Christ's plan. So I go back and tell my family goodbye, but not only do I just say goodbye, but I burn my farming equipment and I kill my oxen to let them know that this is my final decision and that I'm not turning back.
It was a big day for Elisha.
Yeah.
Have you ever personally felt like Elisha? Can you relate to him?
Yeah, so I was a soccer player growing up and I really wanted to play college soccer. And my sophomore into junior year, I had 3 major knee surgeries, and I realized that that wasn't God's plan for my life, even though I had wanted God to use me through that. That was my selfish plan. And so he basically showed me that I have a lot of other talents and gifts that he's given me, and he wants me to go in a different path. And now Mel tricked me, and I'm here in front of all of you guys doing something bigger than I ever would have planned myself. So.
For the record, I did not trick her.
She totally tricked
me. A misunderstanding.
Yeah, you tricked her all right.
You totally tricked me.
You know what you did. You know what you did. You tricked her all purpose.
It worked.
It did work.
Elijah, you're right. It was very confusing that they would put the names so close together. Elijah was always known by this cloak. King Ahab, if you read back in the story, recognizes him from afar because of the cloak. And this cloak would protect him from the cold winter or from the harsh summer from the sun. And this cloak represented, as Peyton said, the call of God on Elijah's life. And what do we see happening when Elijah takes that incredibly important thing and he places it on the back of Elisha? What he's doing is creating a legacy. Because if you continue reading, Elisha actually ends up doing all of the things that God told Elijah to do. So Elisha lives it out. He's the one that ends up fulfilling all of the things that God had called Elijah to. And as a church, we can learn from this story. Because we are Elijah in this story. And the generations that follow us, they are Elisha. And our cloak is a voice of hope. That's what we get to pass on to them. We get to pass on to them this voice that is full of hope because what Jesus did on the cross for us. You see, I often stand in the gap between the students and the adults, and people feel the need to send me statistics about how students are leaving the church and never coming back, or about how daunting the future of the church is. I recently got a really encouraging one that said, bar the doors of the church because no one will be coming in the future anyways. Thank you for reminding me that I should probably get a new job and that they need somewhere else to go, right? So I struggled reading this article. It's not the only one I've read this way. And then I just replied and said, you can bar the doors of the church because this generation doesn't need a door. They will climb through a window.
Amen.
And we have to begin telling a different story. Thank you, Peyton. We have to begin telling. Kind of made me feel good. Yes, let's preach. We have to begin telling a different story. We have to become a voice of hope because they are listening and they are hopeful for the future. So why would we tell them anything different? We have to stop painting a picture that the future of the church is dark and that it's dead. Because the future of the church is not dead, it's just different. It's different because it's going to be led by different people in a different world. And as the church today, we have to be okay with that. And what we have to pass on to them is a voice of hope that says, this is what God has called us to the past 60 years, and now we're giving that to you to take into the next 60 years. And that is our job as a church, to be Elijah. And my dog had that completely figured out when he was leaning on me constantly in his fear and in his uncertainty. And that's what they need. They need somebody to lean on. We have to be that for them. We have to stand firm in our faith and in our hope because of Jesus Christ and let them lean on us, because everyone needs that. And the interesting thing about letting somebody lean on you when you're leaning on Christ is if you just take a step back, they find themselves leaning on him. And they didn't even know they were looking for that. We have to be a church that lets the next generation, that lets our neighbors and our coworkers and our family members lean on us, because we're leaning on Christ and we can handle that. Mm-hmm. We can learn from this giant goofy dog about leaning in to God and letting people lean on us, because they are hopeful. You guys are hopeful, right?
Yes.
Yes, don't read the articles. They're really bad. Don't read them. Megan. Let's do this. Let's skip to the very end of this story. We started out on the first day. Elisha was passionate and excited. And now I want to talk about the final moments between Elisha and Elijah. This is a painful day, possibly for both of you. So why don't you read us through that?
Okay, I will be reading 2 Kings 2, 11 through 14. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and the left, and he crossed over.
Big day for Elisha.
Yeah.
Peyton, yes. Why don't you give us your perspective of Elijah in this story?
Okay, I'm gonna stand up for this.
Oh, you're gonna stand?
Yeah, you can sit down.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna, yeah. You need to rest, so okay, it's been a long day.
It has. So
I'm gonna backtrack again before the chariots. So me and Elisha, we had just crossed the Jordan River, and me being a good mentor, I'm like, hey, do you need anything before I go, before I'm taken from you? And he looks at me and he's like, yes, I want a double portion of your spirit. And I was like, that is like, I was puzzled. I was like scratching my head. I was like, that's a hard thing to give you. Like, I don't know if I can give that to you. But I say, yes, you can have it. Only if you see me taken from you. And in an instant like that, those chariots come down. It was like a tornado from the bottom and I'm going to heaven. And I'm looking down at him as I'm rising. I'm like, did you really just do this to me right now? Like, are you serious? I was like, okay, I get to be with the Lord. And I'm happy, and I'm looking up, and y'all are probably wondering, does this fire, does that tornado hurt? I'm like, no, it felt good on my skin. I don't know if y'all seen, like, if y'all have seen, like, Spy Kids 3, there's, like, a part in that movie where the character, like, he jumps into the lava, and he's like, oh, this isn't even hot. This is cold. Like, it felt good. And I'm, like, looking down at him, and he, like, picks up my cloak, and he looks mad and angry, and he, but I'm gonna let him or her, you know, him, her, finish that part of the story. But that's my perspective up to this point.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. As you can see, Megan was really nervous about speaking in front of people. Peyton loves every moment of this. He is on top of the world.
Just a little bit.
I do have a question for you, though. As you're telling this story, I'm wondering, do you have an Elisha in your life?
You know, if you would have asked me that question like 2-3 weeks ago, I would have said no. But great things happen, and God was calling me to ministry, and I have a great opportunity to lead a seventh grade small group, and I took it, and I feel like I can be the Elijah in their story. You know, I've been in high school and I've been in middle school, and I know the struggles that they will face. Not saying that the other small group leaders haven't been through high school and stuff like that, but I've been in, you know, I feel like I can connect to them because I've been in, I'll be in their situation. Like, I went to high school in, like, this time period. So I feel like...
As opposed to when I went and there was no electricity?
Yeah.
Okay.
But now I feel like I can pass my cloak onto them. So that's how I feel.
That's great. Thank you. I'm super proud of you.
Nothing against the older leaders or anything.
Good job.
You guys are great.
What Peyton didn't tell you is that he actually quit his job and changed some of his future plans so that he could become a small group leader. Mm-hmm. I know. I have some feelings. Oh,
you guys are gonna make me cry.
I know, I caught some feelings for a second, but then I pushed it back down. And I am super proud of you. And that's what we are about. We are about raising up Elishas that become Elijahs and then pass their cloak on. And I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful that you have the opportunity to do that. Megan, I'm also super proud of you, even though you're going away to a college in a state south of us that we won't talk about today.
Same bears.
But do you have an Elijah in your life?
Yeah, so my small group leaders, Kim and Abby, I've only had them for about a year. But they have definitely shown me how to mentor other people and to just be always in the Word. And really to live out my faith as my own, especially as I'm going to go off to college. And so they would definitely be my Elijah.
That's incredible. Do you want to give us your perspective of Elisha in the story? I know Peyton kind of stole the show there, but
we
also
want to
hear. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can stand. So all day I've known that Elijah is going to be taken from me. And like random people have come up to me and be like, you know your master's like going to be taken away from you. And like, and I've been like, no, like, whatever, shush, like, it's not going to happen. And so every time he's tried to leave me, I've been kind of clingy and, like, just been following him around.
Yeah, kind of annoying.
Yeah, kind of annoying. But he asked me if he can do anything for me, and I want a double portion of him. And he's like, well, I'm kind of, like, too cool. So, like, that's a lot, like, of me. Like, that's a lot of my spirit. But that's what I asked for. And so all of a sudden, he gets taken up into heaven, and this chariot and horses separate us. And I see him go in heaven, and I see his coat fall, and I get kind of angry because I've left everything for him, and this is what God has called me to do, and now I'm on my own. And so I pick up this cloak, and I go to the bank of the Jordan, and I slam it down, and the Jordan parts. And that's just like where I realize that, wow, like God has given me his spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think like we've all felt that moment where we ask God for something and God gives it to us in a way that we're totally not expecting and maybe we don't even want, but then that's how he works.
That's so good.
Amen.
Church, as you can see, it has always been about the cloak. It has always been about the legacy. That day in the car when I had my hand reached out, holding on to my shaking dog, I finally rested my arm down and he very gently laid across my lap. And the moment that his head touched my legs, he stopped shaking. He stopped shaking because now he was secure and safe on his master's lap. And if you really consider it, I don't think we're that different from my goofy dog, especially not you, Peyton. Very similar.
I don't know about all that.
But don't we find peace? And doesn't the trembling of our fear go away when we rest on our master? You see, he was created to lean on me, and we were created to lean on our master as well. And when we have fear and anxiety about the future, we need to rest right there on him and watch all of those trembling subside. As I was sharing with my friend Tracy this article that I had received, she said, "You won't be afraid of the future if you remember that God is the God of resurrection." She said, "God wasn't overwhelmed by the death of his son. He surely won't be overwhelmed by the death of your church." God is the God of resurrection. We have to remember that. We are the voice of hope. But in that story, we are the voice. We are not the hope. We are the breath of that voice. We are the arms and legs that crawl through the window to take that hope to people, but we are not the hope. Jesus Christ is that hope. And God the Creator sent him down to die for us and then resurrected that death up so that the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, could dwell inside of us so that we would have the breath and the voice to be that hope. And that's what we get to be as individuals. As a church collective, we are Elijah to the Elishas. But what is your cloak? What are you passing on and what legacy are you leaving? I want to read one last verse to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that allows us to rest on this idea that we are the voice and that Jesus Christ is the hope. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Church, it is our prayer that you are inspired this morning to have hope for the next 60 years, and that you will be that foundation that the next generation can lean on, that you will be Elijah to the Elishas, and that you will pass on the cloak that is the voice of hope. At this time, I'm going to ask that our small group leaders and our students that signed up to be on the prayer team come to the front, and we have another friend named Rhett Eden who's going to come out and pray for you. That he has one fan. Welcome, Rhett. So if our small group leaders and students will come down to the front, Rhett is going to pray for us. And then the worship band is going to play one more song. And during that time, we would love for you to come down and let these students and small group leaders pray for you. But also, maybe it's just an opportunity for you to come down and encourage them or thank them or just give them a high five. So, Rhett, would you like to pray?
Yes.
You're pretty good at it. I've heard you a couple times.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just graduated from Deer Creek High School, and I will be attending UCO in the next year. And you might have noticed, but everybody's walking around here with buffalo shirts on, and that's because they're all part of Crossing's staff or students, or they're either a small group leader. And they chose the buffalo because they run through the storm and not away from the storm. And Crossing students has also chose Psalms 112, 7 through 9 as their ministry verse, and I will be praying that over you guys today. So if you would bow with me. Lord, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust in you to take care of them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church.